και τουρουρουρου.
That was Theodore Bickel and El Burro, which reminds me of one of the fellas here. El Burro. Hello, El Burro. It's 26 minutes until 8 o'clock. Bob, this is something you'd like. The seven Sousa brothers at Oscars are looking forward to seeing you at their annual Valentine's dinner party on Thursday night, February 14th. And again this year, the Sousa brothers will be playing Cupid, with big boxes of Edie's candy for all the girls and a tip to the fellows.
What is this, a trick, a hold-up?
No. This is legit. Sweet-talk your date out of some of her chocolates, and the two of you sneak over to the Oval Fireplace Lounge. Huh?
You want more money?
No. Oscars can't think of a nicer place to munch away on a box of chocolates than around their oval fireplace. Eunice Steele's organ bar will be in rare form, with the sing-along singers assembled there. You'll like that, Bob. And for dinner, try the filet brochette. No, you better not, because you can't pronounce it, can you, Bob? Fillet brochetti. That's good enough. That's the heart of the filet on skewer. Charcoal broiled and served sizzling on a steel platter and priced, you'll like this, $3.50. You'll be able to eat anyway. She'll have to just have her chocolates. So for a Valentine's dinner date like you've never enjoyed, go to Oscar's Valentine's Dinner Party. It's 3285 Lakeshore in Oakland. I think you'll enjoy it. It's 25 minutes until 8 o'clock. How's that sound to you, Mr. Cheap? Huh?
You must be out of your mind.
I am.
Look for the spear and get chewing enjoyment. Look for the spear. Spear and you'll know enjoyment's here. Be sure it's Wrigley's gum.
Let's have something cool. It's 14 minutes till 8, like, man, you know. I mean, wow. Yeah, I mean, like, that was a thing called Soft Something What? Soft Sounds, yeah. I mean, like, it was a Henry Mancini from Peter Garner, and it was too much, you know. Caught me, it was a little short. Caught me with a grapefruit. You ever been caught with a grapefruit? Yeah, play it again, man.
Ritorna a me.
I like Jerry Vale. He's nice a boy who sings it, Return to Me, which means come back. It's 4 minutes until 8 o'clock here at KSFO in San Francisco, which is a few miles south of Bataluma.
I took a boat ride yesterday, and for the first time, you know, you're allowed near Alcatraz. Before, you had to stay 200 yards offshore. And now, of course, there's nobody on there except guards and stuff, so you can go right near the island, all right? Now, here's the dichotomy. Here's the mix-up. As I understand it, our taxes pay for the Army engineers to keep the bay clean. They are hired, and they have big tugboats and big things that go along and clean out the bay. You ought to see what they're doing in Alcatraz. They're dumping plaster and doors and ash cans and rags and bottles and everything else right over the wall. And it's just the whole west side of Alcatraz is one big junkyard right down to the bay. Now, what do they expect? The tides to come up and wash all this away. So there'll be doors floating around the bay and boxes and stuff until they're broken up by boats. Now, I don't understand how the federal government gets away with something like that. There are, of course, a couple of things that bug me. One is a big burning scene on Treasure Island. Here, we're trying to combat the smog, and yet Uncle Sam can come in and burn that causes clouds that you can see for miles away. But what really gets me is this latest little number, and I would like to know, seriously like to know, Do they plan on pulling a boat up there and taking all that stuff off? You know, like a landing barge or something? Or do they plan on letting Mother Nature take care of it? And if so, how do they get off hiring the Army engineers and having all those salaries and all that upkeep and everything like that? It doesn't figure out. Why don't we get rid of that tax expense if everybody's going to throw something in the bay? Now, as I understand it, William Myard or Jack Shelley would have something to do with this. So if they're around or you know them, tell them about that, will you? I'm going to write a letter to them, but I just thought you'd be interested. Making the bay a big dump heap, see? Because you are a government agency. I don't buy this. I'm a government on a local level, man. It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. We may have to attack the island, friends. Let me put it that way. We're going to get right on that. It's 12 minutes past 8 o'clock. It's the little things that count. You know, a lot of people say, gee, well, the world is practically coming to an end. Several people are starving. There's war clouds and all that sort of thing. You're worried about people dumping something in the bay. Well, after the war clouds are settled and everything else like that, you'll be able to walk across the bay on the junk. Then what's the use of living in the first place if there's nothing pretty to look at? That's like saying, oh, there's a little matter. We don't want any more blondes in the world. You know, well, I like to look at blondes. That's partly what makes life worthwhile. Blondes. Stand in My Shoes. That was done by the High Lows. It's 15 minutes past 8 o'clock here on Save the Bay. Save everything. They're nice, you know, bays and beaches and trees and sky and things like that. They've been attacking them all, you know. The sky, fallout, trees chopping down, bay, fill it in. Money. And it's going to go into the water and float around. The whole thing's messy. I don't think we should let them get away with it. Do you?
Well, I agree with the fact that you...
Are you ready to fight, Aaron?
I agree with what you said.
Are you ready to fight, I say?
I think you're perfectly right in what you said about the fact that...
He's avoiding that.
the expense of cleaning it up comes from the same pocket that has been dumping it.
Exactly. And boy, does it come from the pocket.
I'll try to find Shelley for you, Don.
Please do. Thank you. Item. He is not ready to fight. 25 minutes past 8.
Unpredictable.
Can we hold the presses here for a second? We have Congressman John or Jack Shelley on the telephone. Hold the tune, Charles. It's 21 minutes till 9 o'clock. Hello? Are we on now?
We're on.
Okay, is this Congressman Shelley?
That's who it is, Don.
I'm sorry to wake you up.
I'm up.
Good.
I mean, wake me up. You're the only one who gets up early.
Okay, that's a good start. I don't know if Aaron briefed you on what we were talking about this morning, did he?
No, he didn't, but Kurt Roberts, who's working on my mayor's campaign, called me and said you had been, he listens to you every morning.
Uh-huh.
I was just out of the shower when he called.
Yeah, but it always happens really, that way.
Well, it's throwing debris off of,
Alcatraz.
Island, yeah.
Yeah. Now, what the story is this, Congressman Shelley, is that I took a boat ride yesterday, and I saw that in doing whatever they're doing to the island now, they're dumping everything off over the wall, and it's cascading down to the water, and it includes things that will float, as well as steel bars and doors and junk and ash cans and everything else. And I got a little upset about the fact that the federal government could do this to us, you know, on a local level, and wondered whether there was a plan to go ahead and haul it away from there or just let nature take its course.
I don't know whether there's a plan at the time, but I'll certainly find out, because if any of that debris gets into the water, particularly the type that floats or can be partially submerged and kicking around, it's a menace to navigation and could create some real problems and trouble.
Right.
Right. Could you look into that for us and find out what they plan to do with it?
I will do it, Don.
I will appreciate hearing from you on it because quite a few people have called, and I think it is an item of reasonable interest, you know. Plus, it's a principle of the thing.
The first thing I'm going to do is I will call the Department of Justice agency here, who still has custody of the island.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their responsibility and will be until the end of June.
Okay.
And then I will also call the Captain of Port of the Coast Guard, who has responsibility for enforcing the non-pollution of navigable waters laws.
Right.
So I'll do that right away.
Okay, well, we'll be talking to you then.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Congressman Shelley. Right.
Fine, Don.
Righto.
Bye.
I'll see what happens. See, that's the way the whole thing works. It's, I think it's a very good idea to have a congressman. Now we'll see what happens. That was Congressman Jack Shelley, and he is a representative of our area in the federal government in Washington, you see. So he would be the guy to talk to. We did. Now, let's see what the answers are. It's 18 minutes until 9 o'clock.
C.W. Jones, president of the Calso Club, here with...
Dealer. Do that, will you? It's 12 and a half minutes until 9 o'clock, and a guy called up the telephone operator here at KSFO in a southern accent. And the message reads, General Sherwood, Corporal Higgins says that we don't want Aaron on our side because he ain't sure of himself. We'll go to war without him. And so far, on the phone we have 4 male and 3 female recruits. Now here's the idea. Supposing Congressman Shelley cannot get a satisfaction on this issue.